Welcome back to another episode of Schneps Connects. Today, we're thrilled to have Barbara Blair, the president of the Garment District Alliance, with us. Under Barbara's leadership, the Garment District has undergone a remarkable transformation, evolving from a historic fashion hub into a vibrant 24/7 destination. We'll dive into how the Garment District Alliance is shaping this iconic Midtown Manhattan neighborhood, enhancing the pedestrian experience and utilizing art to revitalize the area. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today, and I really look forward to hearing all about the Garment District Alliance and the work that you do for this great city of ours. So my first question, before I even get into some of the details, and for our listeners, I'm sure they would be curious to know, what area is the Garment District Alliance responsible for?
So the Garment District Alliance, which is a business improvement district, goes from 35th Street to 41st Street, 5th Avenue to 9th Avenue. So it's really the heart and the core of what has always traditionally been the Garment District. But as I'm sure you know, the Garment District used to extend much further south into the 20s, the millinery area, the fur area, all those sorts of things. But over the decades, you know, as the industry contracted, it really ended up in this sort of core area, which is between Penn Station and Port Authority on the west side.
Great, thanks so much for that. So let's start by discussing the Garment District Alliance, or as you say, GDA. Can you tell our listeners about the mission of the GDA and some of the key initiatives that you're currently working on?
Sure. Well, the Garment District, like all business improvement districts in the city of New York, really your core purpose is clean and safe. So these entities, these organizations were created back during Mayor Koch's time. And it was because, as you know, we were going through a severe financial crisis in the city of New York, and there were a lot of cutbacks in services. And some of those services had to do with policing and sanitation. So the property owners in these neighborhoods decided to get together and have a self-imposed tax assessment, which they agreed to spend those additional tax dollars on sanitation security. So the core programming of any bid, but certainly ours in Midtown Manhattan, is sanitation security. But as New York City has changed, because New York City, you know, is a living, breathing thing that changes, we've added services. And certainly during Bloomberg's tenure, a huge priority of Bloomberg was to activate public spaces so that, as I recall, in his plan back then, was so that every resident could walk to a park or an open space that was within, I can't remember what it was, but like 500 feet of where they lived. So he created all these public spaces and neighborhoods throughout the city of New York. And in Midtown Manhattan, one of those spaces is Broadway. And the idea, the long-term goal, was to close Broadway from Columbus Circle all the way to 14th Street and make it a pedestrian corridor. But they started doing it in little bits, sort of neighborhood by neighborhood. So you've seen on 23rd Street in the Flatiron, in Times Square, certainly in 34th Street, and the Garment District were part of that. So he created these public spaces, but for us, it was really, really important, and I would say more so than it was for most of those neighborhoods, because the Garment District is so densely built that there was virtually no open space. The only setback in the entire neighborhood was on Broadway and 7th Avenue between 39 and 40th, which is the now Heinz building, which had a setback. So that was a pop. There was little open space around that. There were some planters and that kind of thing. But there was no other open space in the neighborhood. And I don't think there's another neighborhood in New York where you can say there's no place to sit on a bench. So that became very, very important to us. I think that was, if I'm remembering correctly, in 2005 that he started creating these spaces. And ours goes from 36th Street to 41st Street. It's on Broadway. We have one block that's been completely closed that DOT plans to make a permanent plaza within the next 2 to 3 years. And then we have a shared block between 38 and 39. And then we have a pedestrian quarter below that. So what we've done in those spaces is very similar to what many of the other bids have done. We've tried to activate it with plantings and tables and chairs so that people that work in the garment district have a place that they can go out during the day to sit and have coffee or, you know, do work on their iPad or have lunch. There was no place to do that before. You either sat in a restaurant, or which is really a grab and go restaurant, or you went back to your office. So it's been a huge improvement, and we try and activate it and make it more compelling by having music as an example. In the summer, we have summer concerts, and by having, you know, robust plantings throughout the area. We have a lot of public art. We try and have public art always on the plaza. So right now we have two installations. One is Jakiya Booker. It's a 35-foot tall sculpture that goes almost the length of the block. It's really magnificent and the most monumental sculpture that we've had to date. And then the blocks, three blocks south of that, we have an installation by an artist named Shin Song, who has done work for us before, but it's a series of lanterns that are best seen at night that are strung across the avenue. And they're all, you know, custom made individual designs. They almost look like snowflakes, and they're different colors. So, you know, the idea is just to make the place really more user friendly. As you think of yourself walking through New York City, what sort of mentally helps you to relax or calm down or feel like you're in a beautiful or sort of more rational space than when you're rushing along a crowded sidewalk?
Well, that's very important and really great work. So how is the GDA working to improve the community's experience and promote safety in the neighborhood so that the residents and people who work in that area feel comfortable in using the space that you're creating?
Sure. So, you know, safety is probably our number one issue in this neighborhood. And just to backtrack a little bit, you know, the neighborhood is really unique to New York, not all areas of New York. Of course, we have manufacturing districts throughout the city of New York. But in Midtown Manhattan, this was zoned manufacturing going all the way back to 1916 and 1920. In the early 1920s, you started having the garment district apparel manufacturers moving from downtown up to the garment district. And that was really an initiative because in lower Manhattan, there was Ladies Mile, which were all the chic retail stores. And the retail stores did not want the factory workers commingling with, quote unquote, the carriage trade. So what they did is they actually carved out this district, which is, as I said, 35th to 42nd on the west side, for factories. And all these buildings, I shouldn't say all, the buildings on the side streets were built in the early 20s. They're classic New York City loft buildings. They're large buildings. They were built in excess of what is now allowable height, but it wasn't, of course, at the time. And then the Avenue buildings tend to be sort of 60s vintage. So the neighborhood was always a single industry neighborhood, which was apparel manufacturing, design, marketing, and sales. So for many, many decades, other industries never looked in this neighborhood to place their businesses. There was zero residential, and the ground floor retail was really geared towards the upstairs tenants, which were apparel manufacturers. So most of the retail was fabric shops, trim shops, you know, sewing machine repair, you know, a mannequin store, those kinds of things, or a grab and go. You know, we call it grab and go now, but in the old days, it was just a deli. And all those places would close at 6 o'clock in the evening because there was nobody here. I mean, the factories would close or the businesses would close between 6 and 7. And the place, the neighborhood was really literally empty. So as the fashion industry continued to diminish in terms of its size, so by that I mean fewer jobs, and the decrease in jobs has really been occurring since 1950s. It is not a new phenomenon at all. So, you know, the jobs in apparel manufacturing started to decline. And just so we're clear, they declined at a national level, at a state level, and also at a city level. So those three sort of geographical areas tracked exactly the same in terms of manufacturing decline. But as they started to decline, it became sort of critical here to reinvent this neighborhood, because if you didn't have new users that were coming in, you would have really big buildings that were sitting empty. So in 1987, Mayor Koch, there was a big initiative to redo Times Square. They were going to build it up. We're going to have Disney and, you know, the Wax Museum and all these wonderful, fabulous things. And the apparel industry became very, very concerned that there would be a trickle down and that that development in Times Square would trickle down and displace apparel manufacturing just to the south of Times Square. So Mayor Koch put in place this special garment district overlay zoning. And what the zoning said is that 50% of the space in the side street buildings, manufacturing buildings, had to be preserved for manufacturing. And the intention was good. But the problem is you can't solve global commerce issues with local zoning. I mean, we had manufacturing first going to the South because they were non-union states. Then you had manufacturing going overseas because the cost of labor was so dramatically different than it was here. And that's not a problem you can solve with zoning. So that became a drag on the neighborhood because other uses couldn't rent here legally, which is not to say they didn't rent here. It just wasn't legal. So, you know, for many years since the founding of the Garment District Alliance, which was in 1993, we had been advocating for that overlay to be lifted so that other businesses that were here or would want to come here could do so legitimately and have those spaces legitimately. And so it took a long time. And in 2018, that's how long it took, we finally managed to persuade our elected officials and New York City planning that you were holding space far in excess of what the current need was for the manufacturing sector. So the special garment district overlay zoning was lifted and it was really tremendous. We had a great run for a long time there, well, not a long time, a while, because our job growth, probably in 1993, you had around 64,000 jobs in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. There was a time when there were 200,000 jobs in the neighborhood, but never mind. There were around 64,000 jobs. Before COVID, we had 149,000 jobs in this neighborhood in diverse business sectors, business to business, creative services, manufacturing, design, marketing, and sales, you know, all those kinds of businesses. And the ground floor retail was starting to shift as well to service those, the change tendency upstairs. A lot of tech firms were here that work, you know, later into the evening hours. So it really started to change dramatically. There was still no residential. And one of the things that we had advocated for, even back in 2018, without success, was that we allow residential, because we were the only neighborhood left in Manhattan that wasn't some kind of mixed use. It didn't have any residential. We have fewer residents here per acre than any other neighborhood in the city of New York, five boroughs. Wow. So what that means is at night, it's really sort of empty. So we've been really advocating for residential for a long time to make sure that this becomes a 24/7 destination. But I didn't forget about safety. So looping back to your question about safety, one of the things that happened during all those years since it was zoned for manufacturing is both the city and the state placed a lot of social service entities in the neighborhood, and it became and is a big challenge for the neighborhood in terms of our doing our work to improve the neighborhood. So right now, the city of New York has a City of Yes for housing plan on the books. They've certified with ULURP. And separately, they have a plan which is called the Midtown South Mixed Use Plan, MSMX plan, and that is to allow more uses in what are currently zoned manufacturing districts. Both these initiatives will have a tremendous impact on the garment district, we believe, because it will allow some of these commercial spaces to convert to residential which will bring in 24/7 use, which will mean that a lot of the ground floor retail will change to accommodate users that are here throughout the day and night. And also we're, you know, over the past 15 years, we've had 57 hotels that have been built in the district between 8th Avenue and 6th Avenue, and they bring in 3 million visitors a year. You're anchored by Times Square and Penn Station and the Times Square subway hub. So, and you also have, as I said, Times Square and the Broadway theaters to the north, and we have Madison Square Garden to the south. So it's probably the most central location you can have in the city of New York, but also for people that are considering a place to live, you can walk pretty much anywhere from the Garment District. I mean, I frequently walk up to Lincoln Center after work for a concert or a ballet or something. But on the question of security, security continues to be a huge challenge for us because during COVID, the city moved 4,300 individuals that had been in congregate settings into hotels in the Garment District and the West Side of Manhattan so that they weren't in shared spaces. When that happened, and then you had services for people, harm reduction services, services for people that, you know, had addiction issues or mental health issues or those kinds of things, they all found each other in the neighborhood. And during COVID, it was pretty bad here. I mean, it was not a comfortable place to be. I will say that's changed dramatically in the last year. We're working right now with the mayor's office on a Midtown Community Improvement Coalition. Manhattan DA Bragg is working very closely with us and weekly and has been up here a number of times, the Special Prosecutor's Office. So we're really focusing on security to ensure that the neighborhood gets back to where it was. But in terms of the assets of the neighborhood and the cleanliness of the neighborhood, it's improved tremendously and will continue to. But I think that the place we are right now is the city council and the state legislature has got to respond to the quality of life problems that are on our streets, not just in this neighborhood, but in the city of New York and every city in the United States, of dealing with mentally ill and addicted individuals in the public realm. So that's our biggest challenge right now. And it's something that we're really trying to persuade the state to deal with, because it's a city and the state that placed many of these uses here, and that there really aren't solutions for individuals that have these huge challenges.
Right. And I know that many other districts share that same challenge as one of their greatest challenges and highest priorities.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, a lot of that's an outgrowth of COVID, because COVID sort of created mayhem on the streets. And what I will say is I think COVID, in addition to what occurred in our public realm, a lot of civility that we all had as people that are in a very, very congested city. And I would say the Garment District is incredibly congested because of all the uses I just described, but you also have the Lincoln Tunnel and all that traffic pouring in. So, you know, the mopeds and the delivery people for the food that I guess nobody can walk out and get their own food anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything delivered. I mean, I don't know what happened, but, you know, we lost a lot of the civility in the city and I think it's coming back, but it shows. And it's unfortunate. And it's true, not only in the Garment District, but, you know, in all neighborhoods where I live, where my home is, it's true. So, you know, that continues to be a challenge.
Yes. So let's talk about some of the really wonderful things that you're working on. And it seems as though art is playing a very significant role in the Garment District's revitalization. So how do you plan to utilize art to transform the area more so?
Well, I think it'll be a combination of art so that there's, you know, when you get here and when you use our space, there's something there that's pleasing and restful and intriguing or interesting to see. And I will say that the art on the plazas has been very, very popular. There are most Instagrammable sorts of moments in the neighborhood. And as I said, we've always had art there. And in this winter, we have illuminated exhibits. So we've done a lot of work with an organization called Creos that's out of Quebec in Canada. And these are all interactive installations. I don't know if you remember, one year we had seesaws. We had a dozen illuminated seesaws. And, you know, we've had something called prisms and loops. And these are all illuminated installations that a person interacts with to sort of turn on the sound and turn on the light. So those are very, very popular in those dark, dark winter months. But then in the summer, it's mostly sculpture, because that's what lends itself best to those spaces. We try and look to the Elizabeth Foundation for the Arts, which is an organization that's on 39th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues. And that's an entire building full of artist studios. So we look to them first to see if there's an artist that's doing work that would work for the plaza. And that's where Chikaya Booker came from. And that's, as I said, the most monumental installation we've had to date. So we try and keep that always activated, but it goes hand in hand with the ease of mobility in the neighborhood. And, you know, one of the things that we've worked and advocated very strongly with DOT is the sidewalks are just too crowded. And, you know, widening the sidewalks, they have not widened the sidewalks yet, but they have co-opt the western lane of traffic on both 8th Avenue and 7th Avenue and put up barriers and converted that lane of traffic into pedestrian corridors. It is our hope that those will become permanent one time, at some point be elevated so they're at the same level as the sidewalks, or it's a true sidewalk widening. There have been bike lanes that have been placed throughout the district. You know, one of the most important things in this neighborhood is trying to get rid of traffic, because it's an absolute, you know, gridlock in Midtown Manhattan, because you have everyone coming out of the tunnel, or anyone that's going from the West Side Highway to the East Side is coming through this neighborhood. So we, and then of course, as I mentioned, the Garment District plazas on Broadway, and there's one which will be made permanent in the next 2 to 3 years, between 39th and 40th. And that will really become what I think of as our canvas. Because once you elevate that space so it's a true plaza instead of just painted roadbed, psychologically, there's going to be a huge difference. And also, I think it will lend itself to activities that we've been really sort of loath to do up until now. I mean, as an example, about 5 years ago, we tried to do yoga. Yoga has been so madly successful in Times Square in Bryant Park. You know, people don't really want to put their yoga mat down on asphalt, you know, even if it is closed. So, I mean, I think that the opportunity is huge. We're going to have, DOT has plans for in-ground plantings and trees throughout that area. Right now, we have lots of trees, but they're all in planters above ground. So you really feel like you're in a space when something is planted in the earth versus in a container planting. So I think there's huge opportunity. Lighting will be very, very important for this district. Lighting both on the Garment District plazas, but throughout the neighborhood, we're very short on lighting because since we're a manufacturing district, the facades weren't illuminated. There's not as much lighting in the neighborhood as in other neighborhoods in New York. So it's really a tremendous opportunity. And what I would say is the trajectory of the Garment District, I mean, if you think of it even 20 years ago to now, it's dramatically different, but there's incredible opportunity and untapped assets that's still out there that I think will become much more apparent when you have permanent public realm spaces, permanent art installations, and residential.
Sure. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. There has been a lot of discussion about rezoning the Garment District for residential use. How do you think that will impact the neighborhood's culture? Obviously, there's a lot of plans, as you mentioned, for, you know, health and wellness and outdoor space and, you know, green additions. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, it has to be done. It absolutely has to be done, converting to residential. There are no neighborhoods that are built anymore for single use. All the neighborhoods that are built are mixed use neighborhoods. So we're not a mixed use neighborhood yet, but we need to be one. And one of the reasons that I say that, and don't forget the High Line, it's sort of west-west, but if you're living here, it's not that far west that you can't walk over there, you know, and take advantage of not only the High Line, but the Hudson River Park that's over there. But the reason we believe that this will be such a successful residential area is 80% of businesses in this neighborhood have under 20 employees. They're small entrepreneurial businesses, specifically on the side streets, but also in many cases on the avenues now. But for now, let's talk about the side streets and the classic loft buildings. People have been asking me for years, and these are not just fashion businesses. These are all tech businesses, you know, graphic designers. You know, why can't we have live work? You know, why can't we have our studio in the front or our workspace in the front and our live space in the back? Or, you know, residential would definitely change the tone of the street, because when you live someplace, you have a vested interest in the neighborhood, the welfare of that neighborhood, you know, what happens in your public spaces. It's a commuter neighborhood. There's not that same vested interest. You get on the train or the bus or whatever it is, and you leave at night. So there's not the same kind of an affinity for the neighborhood if you don't have residential. Now, of course, I would say the property owners have the biggest stake in this neighborhood because their buildings are in this neighborhood, and it's the onus is on them to be sure that those buildings are filled. And from their perspective, I mean, this is one of the best locations you can be in New York because it has the greatest regional and even international transportation of anywhere in New York City. But for the use of the neighborhood to extend into the evenings and into the weekends, you need to have residential, and you also need the commitment that New Yorkers have to their neighborhoods when they choose to live there. So I think the future, you know, once this residential gets passed, is very, very optimistic. And, you know, we saw before COVID that, you know, the garment district was the best it had ever been. And then, you know, we had this sort of setback, which the whole world had. But I would say, in my view, COVID is over. Mm-hmm. You know, the theaters are back. Tourism is back, at least domestic tourism, and to some degree, international tourism now also. You know, the hotels are filled. They're not 100%, but they're about 92% in the garment district. So this is the moment to take every opportunity that's out there to make sure that we fully heal from those horrible 3 years. And I'm very optimistic when you see what's, you know, happening, as I said, in the parks on the far west side, what will happen in our public realm spaces. There's a lot of opportunity for the Garment District. And, you know, again, I would say the Garment District was handicapped for many, many decades. So we didn't start at the same starting line that a lot of other neighborhoods had. And using COVID as an example, when I used to come to work, we came to work the whole time. We have responsibility for public realm spaces, so you have to be here. The garment district was empty, empty. There was nobody here. I would go home to where I live in Brooklyn, and oh my gosh, it was animated. People were walking around, and the stores, you know, after they let you go back in with the masks, were filled, and then the open restaurants were packed. So the residential stakeholder is very important to the vibrancy and resiliency of a neighborhood.
Yes, for sure. So balancing history and growth is crucial. How is the garment district balancing its historic roots with modern growth?
Well, I would say that the fashion industry has been seriously challenged for many decades. And, you know, as I said, first a lot of these jobs went south because it was non-union. Then they went overseas, you know, because of the cost of labor over there versus over here. Then if you look at the retail environment, there's been a huge consolidation in retail. This way predated COVID. I mean, you know, JCPenney and Macy's and you know, all these stores were tremendously downsizing. So the Ann Taylors and, you know, all these stores, they called it, if you remember before COVID, it was called the retail apocalypse. So, I mean, you know, that contraction seriously impacted this industry because we're the suppliers to those stores. So even if we're not doing the manufacturing here, the design is done here, and then it's sent overseas to manufacture. One of the things that is happening now, which is really wonderful, but the size is not the same as the size of a company that's making a commodity product. But there's a lot of young designers now that are doing very interesting work, much smaller level, selling to specialty stores, you know, selling online, you know, different distribution channels. So that's a wonderful development in terms of the idea that we're still bringing the creative talent to this city for them to practice their craft. They're not ever going to be at a scale of a Gap, as an example of something that tremendously downsized, or J. Crew or something like that, because you can't make those products, which are a very high-end product, at scale locally because of the cost of labor. And the cost of labor is where it should be. People should be paid to work. I mean, you know, that's how you create a middle class, or that's how, you know, people can afford to pay the rent here. So I'm not demonizing the cost of labor, but what I'm saying is you can't compete with a China or Vietnam or Turkey or one of these other places. It's just not the same ballgame. But you do see on a much smaller scale, really interesting designers doing interesting work that have different channels of distribution. I mean, yes, of course, they may end up in Saks and other stores like that, but selling to a large retailer is really, really hard. When something goes on sale at Saks, it's not coming out of Saks, it's coming out of the designer. So, you know, there are all these pressures on the design community that just makes the margins really, really small. So to answer your question, I think that sector in the neighborhood will continue to be challenged. The design you'll always have here, but, you know, also design, a lot of the design studios have moved to Chelsea, the Meatpacking District, you know, those kinds of places because they're hip, cool neighborhoods. And you know, this city and how we think mentally is not that you have to isolate certain neighborhoods for specific industries. We used to have a meatpacking and a printmaking. We still have a very small flower district, but you used to isolate industries by neighborhood. I shouldn't say isolate.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
But segment.
Yes, exactly. But so as these industries diminish, these neighborhoods change. And, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, change is not bad. It's good. Or hopefully it's good. But I think in the garment district, it'll be really good. Right. And when you see the growth of other sectors, and these small businesses that are opening here, as I said, you know, there's tech, but there's also graphic design. And we have lots of lawyers and accountants that do business to business work here. So it's important that you have a balance of sectors, because if you're wholly dependent on one sector and there is some huge disruption, you've got a problem in the neighborhood.
Yes, of course. So Barbara, thank you so much for sharing all these wonderful insights about the Garment District and the work that you're doing on behalf of the GDA. And it's really fascinating to see how you're shaping the future of this iconic neighborhood. So I really appreciate you being here today.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
And have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay.
And to our listeners, remember to subscribe to the Schnepps Connects podcast for more engaging discussions. You can listen to our podcast at podcast.schneppsmedia.com or find us on all major podcast platforms.